This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So continuing with the final four segments here before we go on to After the Paracast, Sydney. Akashic Record, Universal Consciousness, the same?
Yes, I think it is. You know, the most telling reading is, you know, Edgar Cayce is asked specifically where he goes to get the information. And Cayce describes moving somehow through space, and he goes to a giant library, and each person has their own book in this library, and there's a etheric librarian. But when pushed to describe the details, essentially what comes through is that, well, this description is meant for you to understand what Cayce does. And I think a very, very telling reading, and one of my favorite, took place at the very end of his life. Edgar Cayce was already ailing. And as many people, when they're confronting sort of their own death, they're revisiting their past. And Edgar Cayce begins to revisit his childhood, and he literally asks the source. So a question is put to Edgar Cayce about Edgar Cayce. Were those imaginary playmates I had, were they real or not? And who or what were they? And the answer is very, very interesting. Cayce, in trance, comes back and says, well, yes, they're real. But the only way you could understand what those spirits were was to see them as children, because you didn't have the imagination. You could not comprehend what it was or who they were. And what they were spirits surrounding Edgar Cayce. And the reading goes on to describe, well, you were going to have a rough childhood and you needed companionship. And so these spirits appear to you as spirits because that's the only way you could really understand the love they have for you and the fellowship and the camaraderie. And they've been around you, you know, your entire life. You just don't see them the way you did as a child. I think similarly is the Akashic Records. He sees it as a library, or it's described as a library, when in reality it's this store of information that we don't have the intellect to really understand the picture. And you know, similarly, there's a lot of dream analysis in the Cayce readings. Cayce, you know, says, do not, you know, pay attention to your dreams. Pay attention. But what's given to you in a dream is symbolic of really what's going, you know, to a bigger message. And you're seeing it symbolically because that's the only way you can understand it. At least that's my take on it.
Yeah, it seems that it's been described. I ran across one passage here when I was looking prior to the show to get an idea of what we were talking about. Described it as, or that it can be equated to the universe's supercomputer system, or perhaps what today we would call cloud computing, where there's some central storehouse of information for every individual who has ever lived on the Earth. That if you can access that, you can find out all of this information. And that really brings up some interesting philosophical questions, such as, you know, are we living in a universe of free will, or is everything predetermined?
Certainly, absolutely. And Edgar answers that rather definitively. We're living in both. And what he says is that all of us have free will. You create your own future by what you hold in your head and in your heart, not only as an individual, but in a community, in a country, in the world. However, there comes a point at which what you've held in your head and your heart has become, in a more concrete way, the direction you're going. Edgar Cayce's son liked to talk about this and described it to me as a bug on a flat table. if it's heading in one direction long enough, you can pretty much guess where it's going. This is one of the things I find most disturbing about how supermarket tabloids have portrayed Edgar Cayce. You know, they hone in on the predictions. And it's true, Cayce gave predictions, and California is a dangerous place to be in the future, and there will be tsunamis, and there will be all kinds of catastrophes. And these are what the tabloids have made, you know, Edgar Cayce out to be. But Cayce, in terms of the larger body of readings, his prediction readings are very small, less than 1% of his readings. More important, almost all of those readings are prefaced with, given the current situation, or, you know, given how, you know, well, where your head is at, this will be the natural result. So there is a great deal of free will. We make our own future. There is no way to know for certain, I suppose, or make predictions, but there comes a point where it's a pretty good guess.
What I would really like to do before you go, and not that Edgar Cayce isn't quite fascinating, but you've written a number of other books as well and done some other research, some of it really interesting, and I would like to just go through a couple of them so that people can get an idea of what other things you have done. And one of them that caught my attention, and we put up a short YouTube video, I think, about it on our Paracast community forums, Hitler's Holy Relics, a true story of Nazi plunder and the race to recover the crown jewels of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, this sounds pretty interesting. Can you tell our listeners, just give them an overview of what that's about?
Yeah, I was, you know, it was partially inspired by Cayce. And I was really interested in, you know, the Spear of Destiny. That's the lance that was alleged to have been at the crucifixion, which bears the side of Christ. And I was really interested in learning more about that myself and learning more about early Christian history. And so I jumped at the idea of telling the Christian history through this Spear of Destiny, seeing how Christianity changed and evolved, because there was a time before the Holy Grail, you know, when that actual spear became a symbol of Christianity. Anyway, it was very interesting to me, and I wrote a book treatment for my publisher covering some 2,000 years of this history, because it was, had been passed on from one monarch to another, and along with it, alleged, you know, mysterious magical powers that went with it, powers of protection.
This almost sounds like Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, I mean, it almost sounds like there's some truth to that.
I love these stories. You know, what can I say? I love these stories, and I love to investigate them. And, you know, there's truth behind it, even though you don't think so. And in this case, the publishers looked at my book treatment of 2,000 years, and they weren't the least bit interested, but they tore out the last five pages, which is about how Adolf Hitler went after it and got it, and General Patton wanted it back. And they said, give us this book. And, of course, I dove in to give them that book. And it's real interesting because Patton, you know, was a deep believer in reincarnation and mystical things. And he was particularly fascinated with the Spear of Destiny because it was... you could argue, and Patton did argue, that it was a soldier, Longinus, who became the first Christian because of the prophecy that, you know, well, because Jesus dies when the spear is, or when a spear is plunged into his side, and according to Eastern Orthodox tradition, you know, blood drips down the side of the spear into the centurion's eyes, and he is cured of, you know, what are probably today cataracts.
You know what? This is like Raiders of the Lost Ark or one of the Indiana Jones movies. We got more to come with Sydney, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Of course, there's that movie where Indiana Jones cures his father. If you remember that, with this cup of holy water of whatever it is, and Sean Connery gets up and he says, Bond, James Bond. No, he didn't say that. What's unfortunate is that the final Indiana Jones movie didn't feature Connery because he and Harrison Ford had such a great relationship. Let's get back to your story, though.
Yeah, okay. Well, so Patton believed this. He believed that Longinus was the first Christian and that Christianity began with a soldier and began with a soldier drenched in blood. You know, Jesus's blood drips off the side of the lance and into his face. So that was his obsession with it. And Hitler's, of course, is twisted and a whole lot different, but, you know, the lance had killed King of the Jews. And,
right,
and symbol monarch of power. There you go. And so both these people are obsessive about it. And the story that I write, you know, it's a true story about how Patton assigns a young a lieutenant to go into Nazi Germany and recover the spear because he knows Himmler got a hold of it and Himmler hid it right at the end of the war. They have a clue where it is in Nuremberg, so he sends his lieutenant to go back into it. I was able to track down this officer who had later become head of the art department at Berkeley. With his papers, you know, I told the story of him going in and recovering this artifact.
That sounds absolutely fascinating in and of itself. Another book that you wrote, this, of course, lots of conspiracy theories around this, but you've got a couple of them. You worked on these with an author, Stephen Scheller. We've got
you really have that during your research.
Yeah, big pharma, big greed. In Big Pharma, Big Greed, the inside story of one lawyer's battle to stem the flood of dangerous medicines and protect the public health.
Before you go on, let me explain. My late brother Wally was part of Big Pharma. Go ahead, please.
Okay, well, you know, as I said early on, my wife and I often jump in and ghostwrite, especially if it's a story we believe in. And Stephen Scheller's story was one of those, only he insisted at the end that they put my name on it with him. Stephen Scheller, what an attorney. And just to give you, before I jump into what that book's about, is he is such a cool attorney. You know, he was a Jew, and he graduated at the bottom of his class at U of Penn, and he went out to try to get a job as an attorney. Nobody would hire him. There's only one Jewish firm in Philadelphia, and they just weren't interested in him. And he was bumming around the courts looking for a case. He's a first-time-out attorney. And the Black Panthers had been arrested. You know, it's Rizzo, police brutality in a serious way, and they've rounded up all the Black Panthers and packed them into a jail and accused them of murder, as well as, you know, all kinds of other offenses. In the middle of this trial, the judge fires the Black Panthers attorney, and he asks every attorney in the room to raise their hand, or he asks anybody in the room as an attorney to raise their hand, and Steve Scheller and a bunch of other people raise their hand. And the judge looks at Scheller and says, "You, I've seen you here every day. You're now representing the Black Panthers." And, you know, even hadn't had a case before, and all of a sudden, he finds himself in the spotlight, and he really performs and gets the Black Panthers off, and all of a sudden is this miracle attorney. That permits him to go after the cigarette companies, to go after the big guys. And he gets money to do it, and he really fights the good fight, and he really has done that. And in this case, he took Johnson & Johnson to court over a drug called Risperdal. What he was ultimately able to prove is that Johnson & Johnson knew damn well the negative side effects that they weren't willing to fess up on the label. And they pushed it through the FDA, and an enormous percentage of people taking this antipsychotic drug, you know, it was like so many of those drugs, it's approved for one thing and used for another. And in this case, Risperdal was very commonly prescribed to people with ADD, you know.
What year is this?
Oh, this is just recently. I mean, the case was just settled about a year ago, a year and a half ago, and there's still litigation going on. But in this case, you know, young boys taking this drug were growing female breasts.
Ooh, just to tell you, he has nothing to do with it. My late brother, Wally, was head of research for Johnson & Johnson. But we're talking about the 1970s here, probably. And that's when they created Reach toothbrushes and Retin-A. He had nothing to do with that. Totally innocent.
Good.
Nor
Perfect.
Are his descendants responsible. Let me just go on.
But, you know, so Steve just kept coming up against these drug companies. But he was, you know, one of these attorneys who'd made a huge success very early on and kept winning and fighting the good fight, and I couldn't resist helping him tell his story. I hope it'll be a film someday. But, you know, who knows what, you know, Big Pharma's up to. It's getting scarier every year. You know, and especially a company like Johnson & Johnson, it's like, my God, this is like baby formula.
Well, there is a lot of...
You can't trust.
Yeah, there is a lot of mistrust of the medical profession. I mean, yes, it is a science, and you know, one of the things that skeptics tend to ignore is all of the problems that go on in certain kinds of science, especially medicine. There are reports out there where just falsification of papers, for example, is rampant. Or has been. I mean, they've got it under control a bit better now, but we're talking very high percentages of papers that have been actually pulled, you know, redacted, pulled off out of circulation because they were just put out there to promote a certain agenda and then proven to be wrong or fabricated or outright frauds. And so, just because we have a science and we have somebody that's supposed to be a scientist writing things doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
It's what a tragedy. And I really think it comes down to greed. It's just like they just cannot walk away from their money.
And, well, you worked on another book with him, Pharmageddon. And apparently,
and you know what? Before we go to Pharmageddon... Before we start getting Pharmageddon, if we can get it, of course, we're going to break for a moment.
Oh, let's hope
in case you're just tuning in, that's a bad pun. See, bad puns are the province of disc jockeys, and I had my days early on as a disc jockey, and I learned how to do bad puns. And people criticize me for that and think I'm telling a joke. And I'll tell you what, I don't do jokes. Sydney, Gene and Randall, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Spurred by ultra-low mortgage rates, house buyers rushed last month to snap up a limited supply of existing homes, causing the pace of purchases to jump by a record high of 24.7%. The surge in sales reported by the National Association of Realtors marked the second straight month of accelerating home purchases. The back-to-back increases have helped stabilize the home buying market, which all but froze earlier this spring when the viral pandemic erupted across the United States. The use of National Guard reconnaissance planes in four U.S. cities to monitor the widespread protest earlier this year did not violate rules against the military collecting intelligence on Americans, according to a Pentagon report. The investigation by the Air Force Inspector General found the planes were used to gather information about crowd size, flows, and fires, but they did not monitor individuals. This is USA Radio News. A former California police officer dubbed the Golden State Killer told victims that he was truly sorry before he was sentenced to multiple life prison sentences for a decade-long string of rapes and murders that terrorized the state. Joseph James DeAngelo, now 74 years of age, pled guilty in June to 13 murders and 13 rape-related charges under a plea deal that avoided a possible death sentence. The punishment imposed by Sacramento County Superior Court Judge Michael Bowman means DeAngelo will die in prison for those crimes committed between 1975 and 1986. DeAngelo also publicly admitted dozens more sexual assaults for which the statute of limitations had expired. A dredging vessel at a Texas port hit a natural gas pipeline, sparking an explosion that sent at least six people to the hospital and left four others missing. Initial reports indicated 18 workers were in the area. Of the six injured, five were airlifted to San Antonio hospitals for severe burns. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating. This is USA Radio News.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Did I take that as Farmageddon?
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Farmageddon by Stephen Scheller and Sidney D. Kirkpatrick. And in that book, you talk about whistleblowers who have come forward. And can you give us a couple of examples out of that book?
Well, certainly the antidepressant drugs, the drugs that are supposedly approved for, you know, bipolar, come with just such a massive, terrible side effects. And physicians, you know, are essentially paid to be prescribing them. They have a financial incentive. It's just, it's a bloody, terrible, ugly circle. And it's so sad because what can you believe, you know? When you trust your physician to be diagnosing this without a conflict of interest?
You guys are coming up to an election down there, and it says here in the review, it all started with butterfly ballots putting a presidential election on hold. What was that about?
Yeah, well, so Steve Scheller is a, you know, super powerful attorney in Philadelphia, and he's in the middle of a case, and his mom calls him, his mother-in-law, who's in Palm Beach, and she says, Stevie, I don't know who I voted for. I just don't know. Well, I went to the ballot, and I went in, and I couldn't figure out, you know, whether I was voting for Al Gore or Bush or what. What are you talking about? And so he literally flew down to Palm Beach that day with an assistant, and they demanded to see one of these butterfly ballots, one of these ballots which became known as butterfly ballots, and he immediately saw the contradiction, the difficulty in, you know, a voter like his mother-in-law would have, and realized it was right across the board, and so he was the very first person to file a lawsuit on behalf of Al Gore on the butterfly ballots, but his case was not the one that ultimately went to the Supreme Court. It got right up there, and it was between two or three cases, and they let You know, they let the Democrats decide which one to take to the Supreme Court. But in retrospect, it would have been much better to take Scheller's case because it was built on real physical evidence. He determined that even the paper stock was thicker, that there were differences in paper stock and that on these ballots and in places that were likely to go overwhelmingly Democrat, they were sending thicker paper so that it created these butterfly ballots. And so there's all kinds of very sneaky ways to shift elections, and it's all very scary today for us.
Yeah, are you familiar, Sydney, with a talk show host named Tom Hartman?
Vaguely. Are you friends with Tom?
Well, Tom, we actually had him on the PowerCast early on with something sort of related to our paranormal world. But he has said here, he pointed out that the Secretary of State of Florida, who was friendly with the Bushes, deliberately removed a large number of registered voters for specious reasons before the election. And then after it happened, after they made the determination that Bush would win, the newspapers went in there and checked everything and found out that, no, Gore really won.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, that was what Steve Scheller, you know, came about. And it's wonderful where you have somebody with those kind of means that Steve Scheller has. I mean, he's a multimillionaire, and he's got a great legal staff, and he can go do what he wants. And he was responding to a simple telephone call and did really in-depth investigative research and found what he discovered the truth. He said, you know, part about it is that they didn't sue or they didn't try to change the election based on fraud the way Stephen Scheller had it laid out. It's the same thing he did with light cigarettes. Scheller was the first, you know, he wasn't the very first to litigate against the cigarette companies, but he was the first to litigate and win. And what he did was he studied, so-called light cigarettes and, with these filters and discovered that, they weren't any safer for you than a regular cigarette. And in some cases, they were even much, much worse. And he discovered that the filters themselves were designed in such a way so that they would fool the cigarette testing machines. You know, they had these little holes punched in the sides where the testing company would the machine would grab hold of the cigarette. And I love. You know, I love Steve. I love what he does. And so many of our writing projects we take on is because we just champion these people.
Pretty interesting stuff. Since we want scandals, Vice President Pence received money from the tobacco industry and once wrote that, of course, cigarettes couldn't cause cancer. Or more than once wrote that. That's years ago.
Well, 4 out of 5 doctors recommended Camel. I mean, in the 40s and 50s, I'm pretty sure that's, if you listen to the old radio shows, the commercials are still out there.
You think here of all the actors who smoke cigarettes on TV shows, and then you think how many of those shows were sponsored by tobacco companies, then you got to think how many of those actors didn't survive. I'll give you one example, because they just had a reboot of Perry Mason, showing Perry Mason allegedly before he becomes this defense attorney.
Yeah.
On the original TV show, the opposing district attorney for the first few seasons was William Talman. Now, just to let everybody know, the late William Talman was the cousin, first cousin of Jim Moseley, the one, the only Jim Moseley. And he lost his gig because of some kind of weird sex scandal where he allegedly had a sex party or something. And the folks over at the network, I think it was CBS, were scandalized. He was off the show. But in his latter years in the 60s, he, a heavy smoker, suffered from lung cancer. And he did commercials saying, yeah, I'm suffering from lung cancer because I smoked. William Talman, look it up. So that's speaking of the tobacco industry. Let's go on.
All of my books, I suppose, have things, elements like that in common. My first book, I mean, I came out to L.A. To make movies. And I made what People Magazine called one of the worst movies of 1984. And while I was looking for a job that I was never able to get, after that, because that movie was such a disaster in some respects.
What movie was it?
I'm embarrassed to say. It was called The Indomitable Teddy Roosevelt. And I thought it was a great movie, but it didn't help me make the second get another job. And while I was looking for that job, I got hired to write a book, a memoir, for a film director who just died. And a guy named King Vidor, and, you know, he was a great silent film director who'd made it to color, or talkies to color, and he'd made like some 70, 80 movies, Stella Dallas, Ruby Gentry, War and Peace. And so I jumped into trying to writing his biography. And there was a strange, he was something of a pack rat.
You know what? Let's go into that briefly in our next segment, and then we'll go into UFOs, or vaguely into UFOs. Okay. Sydney, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting, alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. Exactly according to my plan.
So this famous director whose career spanned sound movies, talkies, color films, was a pack rat. So what did you find?
Yeah, went right from, the 1970s. And he had just died, and it was really a biographer's dream because he was a pack rat. He just couldn't throw anything away, and because he'd been became a millionaire in the movie business when he was still in, late teens, when his desk drawers filled up, or garage filled up, he just took out a floor at Beacon Storage, and he just couldn't throw anything away. And so when he died, I had this great job of organizing his papers and writing a book about him. And I had everything. I mean, he saved every laundry receipt, love letters, Valentine's, everything. He just saved it. Except there was this weird period in the 60s, 69, where it was just missing. It was just like a hole in the estate. It was like nothing was there. And I didn't think too much about it at the time I started writing because it was late in his career. And I figured actually that, maybe his family just picked the estate clean of that year. Maybe he had an illegitimate child. Maybe there was something hidden, but it just became more and more mysterious. The family had just sold his house in Beverly Hills to Barbara Streisand. King Peter's daughter and I went through the house right before, bulldozers were going to come up because she wanted a, mega mansion. We're going through the house just to make sure everything's out of it. And there in his garage, behind the hot water heater, was a box of papers. And it was essentially not to be opened until he died. And inside was the missing year. And he'd gone out and he'd solved a murder of one of his friends. And he knew that Paramount Studios had paid to cover up this murder. He had tried to do something about it in the 1920s, and they threatened to blacklist him. And it was his friend. And it bugged him, and he put the investigation aside when he was a young man because he thought it would be the end of his own career. And then right up towards the end, he went back to solve his friend's murder. And so that was really my first book. I scrapped writing his biography, and I wrote a book called A Cast of Killers.
Right. I was just going to say there was one more book, and I was saying this sounds exactly like A Cast of Killers. And so, yeah, that sounds like a pretty interesting investigation, all right. What sort of strange activities at the scene of the crime circulated soon after?
Yeah, well, this is the murder of a man named William Desmond Taylor, and he was really, he was as important as Spielberg was in his generation. And he was president of the Directors Association. He was a big player at Paramount. And the strange thing about it was when the police found out that he died, they got an anonymous call, and they showed up at his bungalow. And there were a whole mess of people in the bungalow, searching the bungalow, everyone, I mean, from a famous actress was there, the studio executives were there, and everybody was busy in the bungalow while the tailor was dead on the floor. It's like nobody paying any attention to him. They wanted something out of there, and a whole bunch of scandals came out after that, and you know, Mabel Normand was one of those actresses, and she was said to have been a drug addict, and Taylor was helping her, and then a young actress named Mary Miles Minter, who was sort of like a Mary Pickford type. Her mother was a suspect because Taylor was said to be, you know, screwing around with her. But there were all of these different suspects, and that's what made the case so much fun. King Vidor, however, knew that the studio had paid to have this covered up. He wanted to do something about it when he was a younger man and couldn't.
So I listen to this thing, I'm thinking of the plot lines of an Australian TV show that circulated around the world, a period piece from the 20s and 30s it covers, and was just done very recently called Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, based on a series of novels.
Oh, I've seen it advertised.
It is a fabulous, fabulous show. It's on Acorn TV, which you can get through Amazon. I recommend it. And you think this is a female action hero. But the kind of murder mysteries and all the things going on, they begin to remind me of everything you're telling me about here.
My book came out first.
Yeah, it sounds great, actually.
And of course, Hollywood was a wild place back then. And, you know, my advantage, of course, was, you know, having King Vidor, you know, who was an insider, who was friends with Gloria Swanson, who thought nothing and be able to call up the district attorney and to get police records that others weren't able to get.
Well, there's all this fabulous cultural...
The big question, of course, is, well, why did he put it in the trunk? And he put it in the trunk is because after investigating and discovering who the killer was, realized the killer was still alive and the studio had a really good reason, to be silencing it. And so he put it aside thinking that he would outlive the killer, and he didn't.
Ooh.
And you know what? Maybe we can also have you do an update for the book. Have you do an update for the book Hollywood Homicide? I don't know if you ever heard of it.
Yeah, that's great.
About the death of George Reeves, who played Superman in the 1950s, and many people feel that maybe he had to wear a costume with fake muscles. He was probably the best actor ever to play Man of Steel. All right, although this new series, Superman and Lois, the actor they've got there now, has that twinkle in his eye. Hollywood Homicide, because supposedly George Reeves at mid-40s shoots himself during a party in a bedroom or something. And the claim is here is that he did that because we have a middle-aged man who's still playing Superman, and that basically killed his career. But frankly, he didn't have much of a career before then, so there's a lot of interesting stories that he was dating somebody who was also involved with somebody from organized crime. You heard this story. I don't know why we're even mentioning
it.
Let me ask you quickly here, because I want to get into the UFOs in our next show after the Paracast. Very quickly, what stuff you got in the hopper? What else are you doing?
Well, we've got this research project, and we've got a whole bunch of volunteers, Casey researchers, we call it, you know, for want of a better name, Casey Universe, Casey-Universe.com. And we're studying the readings using big data analytics, doing things that were just not possible in Casey's time. And that's what really is driving us right now. And like the next story we're posting about a person who had readings is a woman named Gail Nelson, who was the victim of a horrific, absolutely horrific, Silence of the Lambs kind of crime.
Tell our listeners that they want to know more about all the work you do. Where do they go to check you out?
You can find me on the internet all over the place, but I'm steering people right now to Casey-Universe.com. It's a free newsletter that my wife and I are doing, and a bunch of volunteers. We're posting some of our really interesting findings. At some point before the end of the year, I'm going to put the Elvis Presley story for your benefit.
We appreciate that very much. You can find us, by the way, on Twitter If you look for the Paracast, you can also find us on Facebook. Look for two Paracast areas. One is a fan club. One is a community. And I have no idea why they are different, why we can't combine them without losing one. But that's them. By the way, Sidney Kirkpatrick will be back with some UFO stuff in the segment that we do this weekend of After the Paracast. What's After the Paracast? Well, After the Paracast is one of the extra special things we offer if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. The Paracast Plus also offers a version of the show free of those pesky network ads. Network won't like me saying that. With enhanced audio. And to get more information about it, you go to theparacast.plus. That's theparacast.plus. Takes you right direct to the sign-up page. And if you're a member of the forum, by the way, you can also now gift a Paracast Plus subscription to fellow members on the forum, theparacast.plus. Also go to theparacast.shop, where you'll learn all about the branded merchandise we offer, including different logos with throw pillows and T-shirts in 12,000 different sizes. I mean, I looked that thing over. I don't care how small or big you are. We probably have something. I'm not sure about the Incredible Hulk. I have to really check into that and see if they got something that big. Hey, Sidney Kirkpatrick, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
My pleasure to be here.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.